all cause you got no idea. Answer still no one near. The thought completely followed by the fear. And the thought of it makes you feel a bit ill. Despair in the empire to lounge it.
Hello and welcome to this week's Tribune podcast. We join you from the Parcha Lounge of Dusseldorf Airport as we sit among a good handful of Gladbach fans as we before we jump on a flight to Glasgow ahead of the Champions League clash between Celtic and Gladbach. But today, as ever, Ross and I would like to sit down and talk about major talking points from this week's Bundesliga. How are you doing, Ross?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm just cautious about this timeline going off as we...
We're situated right underneath the speaker, so you guys might have to put up with some background noise this
some
week.
Some passenger announcements.
Indeed, and some loudy guests maybe, but I'm sure you don't mind. Let's just get straight into it. I think probably the talking point, at least in the face of it, is definitely the Frankfurt-Bayern game. And it's now three games that our Carlo Ancelotti's team have gone without a win. Did you watch the game? What did you think of the game? And what do you think of Bayern right now?
To be honest, it wasn't really a surprise. I know that sounds ridiculous with hindsight, because normally you'd expect Bayern to win these kind of games. And to be fair, they did have the chances to win it. But, you know, Bayern's performances since the summer have been quite passive, to be honest. They've looked like a team that looks quite tired. I think that's quite a hard assessment to make so early on in the season. But I look at guys maybe like Lewandowski and Müller and Robin. Obviously, Robin's just coming back from injury. But I think some of the guys look quite tired. I wonder if they're missing that intensity from Guardiola. I mean, I think we already know that they're not going to hit the same heights as Guardiola did in his 3 years there in the Bundesliga. But overall, it was another example that Bayern are quite vulnerable when teams put them under a lot of pressure. Not just in terms of, you know, pumping balls into the box, but, you know, in the way that they press in midfield. Frankfurt really, really intense, and you only have to look at the results that they've picked up at home this season. They've beaten Schalke and Leverkusen, they've drawn with Hertha and Bayern now, so you've got to give them a bit of credit for that. But yeah, I think looking ahead to the Champions League in midweek with PSV Eindhoven, you wouldn't write off that being another game where Bayern struggle. I think this is becoming a bit of a recurring theme. I don't really know why that's the case, because you'd expect the players to be sharp and hungry at this point in the season. And obviously in the Bundesliga, it's a big month for Bayern coming up. You know, so we'll probably talk about this in a bit more detail, but this month ahead, Bayern are going to have Dortmund, Leverkusen and Mönchengladbach in the same month. So they really have to step up on another level. And if you look at all the comments after the game from Mats Hummels and Philipp Lahm, guys who... who a week before were telling us that they weren't in crisis mode. They were saying it's no problem. Now they're beginning to say we need to get a grip. I think that was actually Philip Lahm's direct quote, was we need to get a grip. And I think that tells you that they're not playing particularly well. The problem is, the wider issue is that they don't have any much of a challenge from other clubs.
Yeah, I think you make a few, raise most of the good points there. I think obviously Frankfurt deserve a lot of credit. We've been saying this pod for I think the entire season now, actually, that people had to keep an eye on Frankfurt, considering what Kovac did last season. And you know, Bayern only add to a number of scalps that they beat Leverkusen, beat Schalke, drew with Hertha at home, so Frankfurt deserved that credit. But you're right, I think there's maybe two problems at play here. I think the first is that a lot of Bayern's major players are lacking intensity. I think perhaps what's interesting is that a lot of them looked really jaded during the European Championships. Thomas Müller, Lewandowski, David Alaba, and these guys haven't exactly managed to turn things around this season. They still look like those players who weren't entirely sure where their form gone. So that's something the club will have to do. It's not the first time we've seen players from Bayern Munich, possibly Dortmund too, come back from a World Cup or European Championships and look particularly jaded. Usually these things sort themselves out over the course of the season. They get the winter off and they can turn things around. But I think what's interesting is that Ancelotti is he hasn't really put his impression on the side yet. You know, the quick and high intensity tactics of Pep Guardiola seem long gone. Bayern Munich just look so lethargic against Frankfurt. I mean, now this isn't just like you know, a 2-2 draw with Frankfurt. This is a game in which Frankfurt came back twice to equalise, and the second time they were a man down.
Yeah.
Teams don't, when's the last time a team went a man down then managed to equalise against
very
Bayern?
Rare. That's been very rare.
And I walked away from this game thinking if that was Pep Guardiola's team, he would have been furious, absolutely livid, screaming in the press conference, falling out with club staff, everything, because he would not have been happy. And I don't know, like you say, PSV will be a tough ask at the Champions League. They probably should win that game, but it's a really big test coming up this month, and it'll be interesting to see how Bayern handle a notable drop in form if this continues, because despite the hyperbole of around the club whenever Pep's team seemingly stumbled, I'm not entirely sure his team ever reached this this lack of the form in the Bundesliga.
It's always something that, like, as a journalist you always approach it with kind of trepidation, that you don't want to say that they're in crisis mode or they are in a bit of a slump. Can we say they're in a slump?
Three games is more than two, in the sense that it's beginning to develop a pattern. I'm not sure I'd go into crisis mode just yet, because they probably will win in PSV. I'm not sure if it's in a home game or not. So they really should win that game, but it will be the games against the likes of Mönchengladbach and Dortmund and stuff. It'll really show.
That could be really interesting, because, I mean, you said about the three results. I mean, even if you look back at the performances in general this year, aside from like the first game against Werder Bremen where they absolutely smashed them, they've been pretty poor overall. You know, they've really they've always been quite laborious in terms of breaking teams down. I mean, Hertha was a bit of a unique example. They were one up and they kind of took advantage of the fact that Hertha were pushing forward and that kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, I think it's still early days, but I think we're approaching a situation now where Ancelotti's team need to get results, and especially in November. Mönchengladbach have already got a good record at the Allianz, beat them last year there under Andre Schubert. So
I wonder how much of a factor this signings this summer play a part, because you know, if this team were in transition period between Pep and Ancelotti, you would think the new signings would add some sort of impetus, but instead we've got a Mats Hummels who he's done okay, but I mean, this was his first game.
I think he's actually looked really kind of lethargic as well in a lot of games, not just a mental thing, but I just think he looks a little yard off the pace.
Well, I was going to
even in that Germany game when he played against Josh McGuinness, he was getting the better of him most of the time.
Yeah, he's not looked great. And as well, I know I don't want to be too harsh on the kid, but Renato Sanchez, he played he featured in this game as well, and again, you know, he doesn't look like he's not playing like a young kid full of energy. That was exactly what Bayern really need. He's playing like he doesn't know where to stand, he doesn't know where to press, he doesn't know what to do in that central midfield trio. So, you know, we're a team, I'm not suggesting, I don't like the idea that you have to buy players to fix problems, but I wonder if Dortmund had spent, or Bayern had spent a bit of money, maybe signed another player like Douglas Costa or something, then whether that would have helped things, because we saw Ian Robin come back into the team this week, scored a goal, but after that, nothing. Frank Ribery's picked up another injury now, Douglas Costa's still out. The club don't seem to be happy with Kingsley Coman. He's been linked with a move back to Juventus. So, yeah, I wonder if we're going to get to Christmas or the winter break thinking Bayern maybe should have picked up another winger or another forward, someone like that who could fill in, because Lewandowski on the bench for this game, Thomas Müller comes into that striker role, and we didn't really see much, you know?
Yeah.
And we have obviously got American followers asking every week, is this the week Julian Green plays? Julian Green's not going to get a game. He's not even really going to. There's no way he's getting a game, but he's still getting a bench.
That he's going to get a chance, he's
still not bench because they don't have anyone else to sit on the bench.
That kind of backup striker has been something that they've been missing for a while now, isn't it? I mean, even if you go back to
Pizarro's maybe the last one I can think of.
Yeah, exactly. When Mandzukic was leading the line, you're relying on Pizarro to come off the bench. And okay, Pizarro is a solid Bundesliga striker and can play in the Champions League, no problem. But I mean, right now Bayern just don't have that kind of depth in that position. I don't know. It's a strange one. I mean, we've talked about this, you know, kind of ad infinitum at this point in the season. We've talked about, you know, there's always going to be a drop off after Guardiola, and that's something that we are seeing. I think that's going to continue. But I think it is a bit of a problem, even if Bayern are winning games and even if they're still top of the league, it's a bit of a problem if they keep dropping points, but there's no one else who's going to take advantage of it. That's still not the kind of standards that Bayern want to set. They're not going to say, oh well, we've won the title because no one else wanted to put it in the challenge, you know what I mean? And I'm very curious to see how that pans out over the next 4 or 5 weeks. Dortmund will be an interesting game. I expect them to win that game just because they have more experience, but Mönchengladbach, Leverkusen, it's a different kettle of fish.
It's a good segue, at which point we could probably move on to the Dortmund game, because I think possibly the best way to really sum up this weekend is that, you know, Bayern dropped points, but, you know, if there was I don't think the fallout of that result really hit maximum levels simply because Dortmund managed to steal some of the thunder by also dropping points on Friday against Hertha Berlin. Another good game in which we saw a really solid Bundesliga team stick it to them. Now, this obviously deserves an asterisk alongside it by saying Dortmund were missing a huge amount of first team players. I think it was 10 they were missing, so this is by no means a full strength Dortmund team that were turned over, but Hertha deserve credit here, Ross.
I think so. I mean, for a long period in that game, Hertha were probably the better side. Goal came, I think it was deserved.
A goal that probably featured maybe the best assist of the season so far, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard really to pick faults in Dortmund's defence for that goal. I mean, Mikel Merino came in for his debut.
As centre-back when he's usually a centre midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a risk, but I thought he grew into the game quite well and looked okay by the end. But yeah, just sticking with Hertha first and foremost, they're a very difficult side to really kind of work out, you know what I mean? Like, don't have a lot of great players. I still don't know if the manager's particularly good, but well, I don't know. It's really hard to say. I mean, last season he had one great half, and in the second half they were rubbish. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to work out whether Hertha are going in the right direction in terms of the coach. But if they're able to maintain this, and okay, even if they drop off and finish fifth or sixth again, I think you've got to give them a lot of credit. And in that game in particular, so impressed with Ibisevic, and I know that you're a big fan of John Brooks, but I thought he was really good as well at centre back. I think he marshalled Aubameyang really well for most of the game. Towards the end, when Dortmund put on a lot of pressure, it proved to be quite difficult for him, and Aubameyang had a great chance where he scored.
They did look on their ropes at the end.
Yeah,
the
I mean, that's inevitable when a team is put under that much pressure, that goal is inevitable, and obviously Aubameyang missed a penalty as well, so he could have gone either way.
Yeah.
But I think, it's hard really to criticise Tuchel because he had so many players injured, but I think that Dortmund team is simply lacking in experience and lacking in characters and guys who can get them through, you know, games to get 3 points.
Yeah, Hertha are an odd one. I think you're probably right to say they don't have any outstanding players, but I think what they probably do have is one really solid first team, and when those players are all fit enough, then we really are a decent outfit, which is what we saw obviously against Dortmund. And as you've seen this season, when the likes of Brooks and Ibisevic and Mitchell Weiser, when these guys are on the pitch, I mean, saying that though, Hertha were missing Carlos, it's not as if they had a full strength team themselves, but you know, they've got a solid group of like half a dozen players who just do the job, you know, and they run through walls, brick walls for Paul Dardai, and that's enough when you come up against a team like Dortmund who look quite inconsistent right now. The thing that really stood out for me in this Dortmund game was, aside from the fact that we were missing a lot of key players, this is a game that really want. I think I said this to you at the time I watched, like, this is a game I really had to see something like the senior players like Mario Götze and Aubameyang step up. We got Christian Pulisic on one wing and Emery Moore on the other. Both these guys, you know, can't even rent a car, you know, if they're in the US they can't even buy a pint. But the ball was just thrown out to them every single moment, and they were expected to do something. Aubameyang won one-on-one, missed it, guys threw on goal, and he decides to chip the goalkeeper. Now, sure, you could say that shows how confident he is, but you got to finish that. And then a penalty comes up, he misses that, and you're like, oh, come on. This is where you really have to step up to the plate here, in my opinion, to mix my sports metaphors. And I thought that was really telling. I thought when Kagawa came on for Götze, he made an immediate difference. When Dembele also came on, I think he came on for Sebastian Rode, Dembele made a big difference as well, and he obviously ended up setting up the goal for Aubameyang, which was really, you know, a cut back across the box, and he really put on a plate for Aubameyang. So I think the striker will be quite grateful for that, because if Dortmund end up losing this game, then I'm pointing the finger at Aubameyang, Götze to a lesser extent. But so, yeah, okay, Dortmund were missing key players, but I thought the ones that they actually did have didn't step up, like the types, like for example, like players like Ibišević and Jonathan Brooks, who went to the Westfalenstadion in front of, you know, 70,000 fans, 80,000 fans, put on a good show. That, I mean, we talk about, you know, Hertha, you know, going above expectation this season, but to go to Dortmund to get a point would be huge for them in terms of confidence for that squad. You probably don't need any more confidence, they're already doing really well, but to go to Dortmund to get a point is huge for that club.
And you see the reaction after the game, how much it meant to them, given how much the work they'd put into it, and especially given that, you know, they're still missing some good players. You know, Darida is obviously out injured.
And we haven't even seen Duda yet. Yeah. We haven't seen Duda either.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, it's difficult really to judge what they can achieve and where the ceiling is for Hertha. But, I mean, in those big games, they're delivering good performances. And from their point of view, next week's is a huge game against Cologne. I mean, I know that it's still early on in the season, and, you know, at this point, you can't really say it's a six-pointer. But what a way that it would be to make a statement of intent, to go to Dortmund and get a point, and then to beat Cologne, who are obviously, you know, doing so well, second in the table.
Yeah. What?
Right up the table.
What impression do we have of Thomas Tuchel at this point in this season? Because you obviously did a fantastic job last year, but now, obviously taking into account that certain players are still missing, but how do we rate what he's done with Dortmund this season so far?
Hard to say. I mean, it depends what your expectation is of him. Like I say, I didn't expect Dortmund to compete for the title, so I'm kind of looking at it from that point of view, that I expected them to be a kind of work in progress this year, because they'd lost, obviously, the spine of their team, and Not just in terms of quality, but, you know, the fact that they lost their captain, they lost their most aggressive player in the field, and they lost the guy who creates 90% of their chances. To replace that would have been hard for any team, even for Bayern. But my issue with Dortmund is that they've got great talent, some really brilliant young players, but like you said, I think a lot of the experienced guys need to start stepping up. I think Schmelzer has played well when he's been involved. Obviously, he's injured now for 2 weeks, but I think he has played well, and I think he's a genuine leader. Schürrle obviously has been injured since very early on in the campaign, but, you know, where else are you looking? I mean, you're looking at Socrates, you're looking at Piszczek, you're looking at Götze. I mean, there's not really a lot of.
I thought it was quite telling that the press conference last week ahead of this game, Tuchel was asked about Weigl, and he said, you know, he's absolutely imperative to the way we play our game, which I thought, wow, that's, you know, that's a huge testament to how far Julian Weigl's came, because this time last season we're still saying he's a youngster from 1860 Munich that's just,
yeah,
let's just hold the horses and see if he gets game time. It's now like he's probably the first name on Tuchel's team sheet, which is great for the player, but it's maybe a little troubling for Dortmund fans, who are thinking, you know, if we want to be one of the top clubs in the world, why is this 21-year-old, why is he, you know, we shouldn't have to rely so much on a 21-year-old central midfielder. Now it's interesting that Nuri Sahin was on the bench again on Saturday. I mean, I'm not saying Weigl had a bad game by any means, but yeah, I thought it was really telling that fact that, you know, Weigl's playing, Nuri Sahin's on the bench, Nuri Sahin's not even being used. But I think Weigl's a really good example of how decimated Dortmund's depth is and how reliant they are on young players. I think I made a complaint, I moaned about this a few weeks ago in the sense, or maybe it was this pre-season preview actually. You know, it's great that Dortmund have all these young exciting players, but it's not really responsible to rely on them to win crucial Bundesliga matches. They should have guys 27, 28 at the top of their game who have the experience to, you know, really dig in when, you know, the going's going against them in a game like, for example, Friday's match against Hertha. So I think that's a criticism that's probably quite fair of Dortmund. Now, sure, there are senior players like Schürrle missing, who are older and more experienced. I just think I'm not entirely sure how much Dortmund can win if they do continue relying on these young guys who haven't done it before. I know I'm not too far from saying you don't want anything from kids, that's not what I'm suggesting, but there's a reason that Bayern Munich squad's one of the oldest in even the Champions League. because they buy proven talent. Okay, yeah, so another dark horse who've been doing remarkably well this season are, of course, Cologne, who beat Ingolstadt 2-1 on Saturday, Ross, and there's another two goals from Anthony Modeste. What did you think of... I mean, what did we say about Cologne at this point?
It's hard to say. Hard to say anything really about them. I mean, they've had their best start since 1989. Again, I mean, I don't see a lot of genuine quality in that team, and you know, I think you've got to give them a lot of credit for the way they've gone about things. But again, I wonder. I mean, we had this kind of a chat last season as well. Like, how much is the success of Hertha or kind of surprise teams down to the fact that Germany's bigger teams are not performing? I don't know if that's a fair assessment to make. I mean, Hertha have done remarkably well, and Modesta, you know, is banging in the goals, and they've done really, really well. The Bayern game especially, they could have gone and won it.
That's what I was going to say. It's really got obvious example of the big teams that are doing well when Cologne should have beat Bayern before the international break.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to judge so early on in the season. I mean, we've only come off the back of the seventh match day. I mean, it's still really, really early on in the season. I think the one thing that really benefits this Cologne team is the stability, I think, and the selections. The team doesn't change markedly week after week. I mean, the back four is always the same. You look at Jonas Hector and Sorensen, who have come in at full back. They look really solid. Timo Horn as well, obviously, is a top keeper. I mean, I think if you look at the way they've developed over the last, you know, 3 years since they came up, it's been really kind of solid, kind of small steps going forward. They managed to stay up in the first season, managed to get a really good mid-table position, finished the outside of European places last year, and obviously now they are, I wouldn't say they're living up to their potential. I mean, it's a big club, but, you know, big expectations, but
I think people in Germany don't really appreciate how big Cologne is. I mean, from my experience in the UK, now I'm sure there's probably plenty of listeners who are like, what the hell are you talking about? But yeah, I'm not sure people really appreciate the size of Cologne as a city, and of course the potential of the club just in sheer size. I mean, it's a club who get, what, 40,000-50,000 fans every game. Fans are absolutely nuts. Carnival club, as they're known, around that region. And like a lot of Bundesliga teams based in the major big German cities, you know, the sky's the limit. I think it's really interesting the harmony that Peter Stöger's brought to Cologne. Like you said, they're not a team of notable stars, but like Hertha and Frankfurt, actually, he's a coach who really has his players just working really hard. They're really well drilled. Yeah, I think it was Leon Bettencourt recently who put up a picture on Instagram of the players around at his house watching, you know, an NFL game or something. And I know that could just be social media nonsense, but I think it's quite a genuine point that there is a real sense of harmony among the squads. Now, as well as that, there's also Anthony Modeste, who has just been outstanding this season. Now, he scored a lot of goals last year, but the manner in which he's scoring this season is incredible. I think without his goals, they'd be maybe like 17th or 18th in the table right now. You know, such is the importance. He's not just scoring goals, he's winning games, you know. I mean, if any listeners haven't seen his goal against Bayern Munich before the international break, I really can't recommend him enough, because it was an absolute... It was perhaps the definition of finesse and physical ability. And I think he's playing a huge part. And it's really interesting that, you know, last season we were bemoaning the lack of strikers in the Bundesliga that year. And Modeste really came on so far for Cologne this season. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep a hold of him next summer, if he can keep his form going. Because as things stand, he looks set to score maybe 20, 25 goals. Now, the team just below them in the table are, of course, RB Leipzig, who on Sunday beat Wolfsburg 1-0 with a goal from Forsberg. And this is, once again, another win for Leipzig, another big scalp. And they don't seem set on giving up this run of form. They've seen them march straight to the summit of the Bundesliga, Ross. I mean, was this just a case of Wolfsburg being crap? Or is Leipzig, or, you know, should we really start considering this Leipzig team as a European contender?
I think the stats would tell you that they are where they should be on the table. The stats are backing them up as being the third strongest team in Germany right now. think it's very interesting. It just shows you how rapid the progress has been under Ralf Hasenhüttl. We obviously went there in the summer from Ingolstadt. He's already put his stamp on the team. You see the way that they play. It's very similar to the way that Ingolstadt played last year. It's very aggressive, pressing. It's quick counter-attacks.
It's also sort of football that Ralf Ragnick's obviously been working on as well behind
and,
the scenes.
And when you have better quality of players like Timo Werner up front, you have Keita in midfield, you have Forsberg, who I think has been really, really impressive this year in the Bundesliga, Selke as well.
Poulsen really impressed.
Yeah,
well.
I mean, I think there's just so much depth of talent in that squad that, you know, it's not really a surprise that they're doing so well. I'm really interested to see how they play against Bayern though. That's obviously the big test, see where they are. But again, you know, a great result at Wolfsburg. To be fair, Wolfsburg are not in great shape right now. We'll talk about them a bit later, but Leipzig were in control for long spells of that game.
Yeah.
It's quite weird because actually Leipzig have been kind of punchy side in a lot of games this year. They've made a lot of like kind of late goals, quick counter attacks, that kind of thing. But this game was a game where they actually dominated, I thought, and I think they totally deserved to get 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Wolfsburg probably started the game in charge because I thought the penalty Castillo's gave away was actually against the run of play. But as you say, as the game went on, it just looked more and more set that Red Bull were going to score. And I think, you know, as I mentioned the point before, really interesting the amount of talent they have up front and the way that they can rotate it. Now, after they scored, Forsberg scored a really good goal, it's really worth checking out. Get space in the middle of the park, and just outside the Wolfsburg goal, outside the Wolfsburg box, he turns and curls the ball far corner to make up for the penalty he'd missed earlier in the game. And, you know, I thought it's interesting. You have a player like him, you have Poulsen, you have these guys who are causing a lot of trouble for Wolfsburg. Then Hasenhüttl brings on Keita and Burke after the goal. Burke almost scores immediately. And what I found really interesting was that this is exactly what Wolfsburg should have been like. You know, Wolfsburg, I thought interesting that those two players came on for Leipzig and Wolfsburg brought on two youngsters to, you know, and that's alongside Amaro Gomez, who hasn't looked anywhere near what he could be at Wolfsburg this season. So it's a real strong contrast between the two teams. But yeah, I think I'm right in saying that. I think I saw a stat along the lines of the fact that Leipzig have picked up the same amount of points in so many games as Kaiserslautern did when they got promoted and went on to win the league title and way back when, well, not too long ago. So that's quite telling.
So let me ask you, the question.
The question.
Can the Red Bull machine win the title this year?
No, I don't think so. I think they look solid and they're picking up the points where they should be picking up the points. But I thought they were quite lucky to beat Dortmund and I'd be very surprised. Well, I mean, I say I'd be surprised if they beat Bayern, but Cologne almost beat Bayern, Eintracht Frankfurt almost beat Bayern. So can they beat this Bayern team in this form? Of course they can. So that'd be interesting, but I still think this Leipzig team are very far from perfect or from a team that really should be winning the Bundesliga title. They're still really not sure about that defence at all. So we'll have to see. But so far so good for Leipzig and it's causing a big stir in Germany. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see as the season goes on if they do stick at this top side of the in the top half of the table, which I think they will. Just how much of a role not playing in Europe will play, because I think almost all the teams around them there are playing in Europe, you know. I'm talking about your likes of like Leverkusen, Mainz in Europa League as well. These are the kind of teams who they'll be end up alongside next season, so really intrigued to see if they can last the pace and not being in Europe can play a genuine role in that. But let's move on to Wolfsburg, Ross, because I think possibly the most pressing matter this week is whether or not Dieter Hecking will keep his job. First of all, people might be listening to this podcast on Tuesday or Wednesday, they may have actually already lost it. So if they have, our apologies, but we'll crack on, give our assessment of Wolfsburg, whether he should go, and just a general state of the club at the moment.
I think there is a feeling around Wolfsburg that an upgrading coach is probably the next step. If the team is underperforming, that's an area where they know they can probably improve. I mean, Hecking didn't really come to Wolfsburg with a huge reputation. He'd only coached at Nuremberg before, and it was a kind of bog standard spell that he had. He had a couple of good seasons, but never really got them to Europe or got them, you know, into that kind of area of the table. I think he's very limited tactically, and I think in the season that obviously they finished second and won the Pokal, he had the benefit of having Kevin De Bruyne, who was in great form. I think this is something that has got some legs to it. I think there's definitely a consideration that maybe for both parties it would be better if they cut ties now. But you'd have to kind of ask the question why they're waiting after 7 games to do it when everyone was already talking about this at the start of the season. Everyone was talking about this in the summer. You kind of wonder if they could have done something in the summer rather than wait until 7 games in. But, you know, maybe if they make that change, things will turn around. I think the biggest problem with Wolfsburg is that they're playing in an environment where there's not a lot of pressure. There's no pressure.
You've spoken about this to me before.
Yeah, I've said this a lot of times. I really cannot understand a professional footballer going to Wolfsburg. It's so lazy.
Well, it's an obvious reason why.
Yeah, money. Yeah. Of course it is. That's why Julian Draxler is not one of the best talents in Germany anymore. He's not one of the best talents anymore because he hasn't performed.
Well, he still played for Germany and he did really well actually at Wolfsburg last season.
I don't see it. I think it's lazy. I think there's a lack of work ethic among the players. I think it's the kind of culture of, you know, kind of, oh well, it's not a lot of pressure day to day. I think if a player goes to Dortmund or Schalke or Gladbach or Cologne or Dusseldorf, whatever, there's a real intensity there. The players have to work, you know, and I don't know if that's the case at Wolfsburg. That sounds like a big generalisation to make about that club, but I'm not sure that kind of work ethic is ingrained in Wolfsburg as it is maybe with Leverkusen, maybe it is with Hoffenheim to an extent.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'd say you maybe are making a few assumptions there, but because, you know, you can't say a player isn't driven to play at the Volkswagen Arena, but is at Hoffenheim, for example, you know, like the so-called plastic cubs, the other ones at least don't have any trouble. I think it's probably more case that it's the coaching, to be honest with you. I think I used to actually defend Häkkinen last season, I think it was. I thought he deserved the benefit of the doubt for what he did in that first season when he finished second, won the Pokal, gave him the benefit of the doubt last season. Now, you know, he really has to turn things around. He hasn't done it. But I think if you get a coach in there like Nagelsmann, he's not going to go. But like a coach like that, then I think you see it turning fortunes very quickly, and that work ethic does come back to the players. I think I understand your point, but I think they have got a young squad. Players like Didavi and Julian Braxton, no matter how much money they're making, they're still going to want to win games, win Champions League championships. Draxler's absolutely desperate to keep doing well to get into that Germany team. That's why he was pushing for the move this summer, because he thought, I have to be playing Champions League football. Same goes for players like Rodriguez, Max Arnold, who's going to be one as well in the next few seasons. He's going to wonder, am I going to be a German player or not? So I think there is the right drive there if given the tools by a manager to do so. And I'm not sure a Häkkinen is that. I mean, that's, I think I've seen on Twitter last night, there's a huge amount of talent in this Wolfsburg team. It's not the team that's, I mean, last season when you had Naldo and Dante at the back, you're like, right, okay, there's obviously limits to what this team can do. But when you have Nocke and
Jeffrey Brunner,
yeah, these are decent centre-backs. They're not maybe the best centre-backs, but they're decent. Alongside the likes of Draxler, Rodriguez, Gustavo, Arnold, sure, they could maybe do with a better striker than Gomez, but and you've got Didavi who's still to come into that team. So I mean, that team on paper should be pushing for at least a Europa League, in my opinion. Really, in fact, to be honest with you, it probably should be pushing for a top four spot. And I think they just need the right coach. And I think I'm probably inclined to agree with you guys now that Häkkinen isn't the man for that. So we wait to see. I think what seems to be reported is the perceived wisdom is that he'll be given the Darmstadt game to prove himself, to win that game.
And is one game going to allow him to prove himself, though?
Well, exactly. And I think we were saying on the way through here this morning that if anything, the new coach should be brought in, because Darmstadt would be a good game to embed yourself. So I'd be really excited to see what kind of coaches they could actually entice if Häkkinen were to go. VS Boas would be your idea?
No, just suggesting. Is that...
I have no idea.
Is that a goal?
Was that being reported?
I don't know.
reported here first, guys.
Tribune
exclusive. Vias Boas.
We know he's learning German, isn't he? So.
Did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, we do know that.
I didn't know that.
Oh, you need to follow the Tribune podcast on Twitter then.
That's interesting. He would be an interesting one. I mean, obviously Wolfsburg have cash to splash. Although maybe not as much as they used to. Since Volkswagen have gone a spot of bother with their with their own business, but it's still a club with a lot of money, spending a lot of money, and a really, really good sporting director, in my opinion, in Klaus Allofs. So he'll want to bring the right coach in. I'm worried, though. I think to his credit, for most of his career, Allofs has been a man who's been very patient with things, with players and with managers. And
yeah.
I wonder if maybe he's been a little too patient with Hecking. And I think, you know, Wolfsburg deserve to have expectations. If you don't meet those expectations, then you have to go. Sure, last season, I think Hecking could probably quite rightly say, yeah, we didn't do well in the league, but did really well in the Champions League, so that's fair. And the club will be happy with that, for the exposure they get from playing Real Madrid and, you know, the later stages of the Champions League. But yeah, this kind of form just can't be allowed to persist at Wolfsburg. And I mean, I know I've already said it, but I'd love to see someone like Nagelsmann at Wolfsburg. And I know he's doing a great job at Hoffenheim, and I know you like what he's doing at Hoffenheim, but a young, exciting coach like that, maybe before Weinziel went to Schalke, you know, like a player like you know, like the young guys like Tuchel, Weinziel, Nagelsmann. I like someone like, I think I said on Twitter, like I think Wolfsburg need an idealist, you know, like a coach who's got an attacking philosophy, he's got a style of play he wants to play, not just some guy who's going to come in and make sure they're solid, because that's what Hecking is. He's a coach who ensures you don't get relegated, he shores up a defence, at least he used to, and makes teams very functional. I want to see this Wolfsburg team playing like Dortmund. I want to see them playing like Leverkusen, really attacking football, and hopefully if a new coach comes in, that's the kind of guy they'll go for. Okay, so I think we should probably wrap up there, Ross.
Yep.
How are you feeling? Tired? Our flight's been delayed.
Yeah, flight's
twice.
Been delayed, so I'm a little bit...
Thanks, Eurowings.
...fussed.
They'll not be getting a sponsorship role in our podcast anytime soon. Yeah, probably wrap it up now before we have to jump on this plane. And hopefully that wasn't too bad, guys. We obviously wanted to get something out there, and we figured the best way to do it was Ross and me talking in the departure lounge. So, as always, if you have any complaints, you can forward them to @TribunePodcast on Twitter. I'm @StephenBinkowski. Ross is @RossDunbar93.
Yes.
And we'll be back next week. I'm sure the guys, John and Davis, will be back as well. John travelling, Davis a little under the weather. I'm sure all four of us will be back next week. And
the dream team.
The dream team. Enjoy your week, and yeah, we'll see you next week. Look like someone you might knock about with. And almost shouted. And then reality kicking within us. It seems as we become the winners. You lose a bit of summer and half wonder if you won it all. And don't say, oh, 'cause you've got no idea.